Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host. And this is a place where I like to think of getting safe information, because what we do is we talk about real life experiences from real live cool people. And so the idea, we don't talk about opinions, we don't talk about theories, it's all about real life experiences. Hopefully that maybe you can learn from and apply some of it to your own life to make your own life better. So today I am joined by an amazing guy. His name is Eric Lambert, and I met him a couple of weeks ago at a national conference. It was called the APCA for... the association
for the promotion
of campus activities. Yeah,
absolutely.
There you go. And where he had 500 representatives of different universities coming to learn about different programs and entertainers and singers and lecturers and speakers that they could bring back to their colleges and hire. And what an amazing experience I had. Eric, welcome to Finding Better. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here, my friend.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, one of my broad themes that I have in my life is that it's all about love. And I wanted to introduce my audience to you because that would, you know, if there was one overwhelming or overriding feeling that I had at your conference, it was love. And it was, you kicked it off, and you got up there. You're the executive director, and you got up. And from that moment, it was just an amazing experience. And I wanted my audience to get to know you. APCA, can you just talk a little bit about how it started and why you started it?
Sure. APCA, again, stands for the Association for the Promotion of Campus Activities. We put on conferences and we host resources on our website that help students and student boards to connect with their campus, to be better engaged. We help the universities and the colleges that we represent to engage their student population in a meaningful way so that they'll have better retention. They'll stay on campus longer. They'll have better success. You know, they'll graduate. They'll go to do on whatever it is they're trying to do with their student experience. And more importantly than anything, it'll give them an opportunity to become better people, better leaders, and ultimately better citizens. We like to say that academics make experts, but student life makes citizens. So
wonderful.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and it came out. It was clear
right.
that was kind of the feeling, because you know I'm thinking about the title for this episode, and I think it might be Finding Better College Experiences, and you know one of the things is that you are celebrating your 30th year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you rewind the tape a little bit, what happened? Why did you start APCA to begin with?
Well, I didn't feel like being a comic, and I'm a professional comedian, but I didn't feel like being a comic was necessarily something that was making the change that I wanted to make. I mean, I could get my opinions out and I could talk to people from the stage, but by and large, comedy clubs and cruise ships and things like that, they weren't really receptive to what I was trying to get across. And what I was trying to get across is that, you know, a message in entertainment is very powerful, because when you include messages in entertainment, when you include a theme of what you're doing into something, it really is very well accepted and it makes a difference. Oscar Wilde had this great saying that if you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh or they're going to kill you. It's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, you have to look any further than Martin Luther King, or you have to look any further than John F. Kennedy, or anybody else that tried to tell the truth, or Gandhi. They were all killed. But people that made them laugh were celebrated, even if they said the truth. You know, I mean, George Carlin and Bill Hicks. I mean, if you could make people laugh while you did it, you were more celebrated and people were more open to it. So that's why I got into comedy. But eventually I realized I couldn't make enough of a change just as one person doing it. So I just decided to start an organization that could build that theme of helping people through entertainment to stay more engaged with their campus, to stay more dedicated to their student experience and have better life skills so they could survive the student experience better. And that's why I decided to start APCA. And I think we have a very positive effect on retention and recruitment at campuses and also ultimately in student success and student retention, keeping them on campus, keeping them involved in their studies, keeping them enrolled, you know. So we do a lot of things with entertainment that have tie-ins to that. For instance, we might have a band that came to your campus, you know, we show people a band. We encourage the students to do something tied in to another learning outcome with that band. For instance, maybe the ticket to get in to see the band that night is them putting together dog chew toys or something that expresses some kind of idea of civic engagement. Maybe they roll up some silverware for Meals on Wheels. Maybe they auction off a poster from Broadway Cares. But we have lots of different little engagement attachments to entertainment that help the students to become more aware of civic engagement, of getting involved in leadership roles or learning how to put together events, all these different things, these learning outcomes attached to entertainment and student engagement. And that's why I started APCA, so I could do that with training. I could do that with showcases to help the other people in the entertainment industry and teach them how to attach those kind of things. I could help people who are transitioning out of being an entertainer into a speaker. And so they could take a lot of the lessons they learned about campus activities with them and teach them. Great examples of that, Del Suggs, Jason Lavasser. Basically tried to make things better on campuses. So instead of me just being a comic wandering around trying to tell my little jokes, I decided, how about if I head up a movement in campus life and we start attaching students to their institutions in a better way?
So that is amazing. So you took your little world and you tried to figure out, okay, how can I take my little world and expand it and make a much broader impact than what I could just doing it on your own. And
yeah. And it really is kind of an act of love.
It totally is an act of love. That's like wonderful. Love.
I remember this wonderful song by John Lennon called All You Need Is Love. And it's a great song.
Wonderful. Yep.
But I mean, it's like it sounds kind of kitschy and fun, but really, what's it about? Well, if you stop and think about it, I think what he's trying to get across is, I mean, think about someone you love. It might be your parents, it might be your siblings, it might be your friends, your wife, your husband. You know, if they needed food, would you not find a way to help feed them? Well, sure you would. If they were trying very hard to do something with their life and expand their possibilities and you could help them, wouldn't you? Yeah. If they were, you know, in a situation where they had no way to afford college and you knew ways they could go and apply for aid and things, would you help them? Well, of course you would. Well, why? Well, because you love them. Well, how about if you just treat everybody like that?
No kidding. You know, and that's you just nailed it in terms of why I started this podcast. It's all about love, and it's all about helping people. You know,
all you need is love.
It's all about love, and it's just so simple, and we so overcomplicate it.
Yeah, and, Gaza, they need love there right now. Israel, they need love. Everyone in the world, Ukraine, all the things.
Everyone
we're fighting, the places where people are being murdered and slaughtered wholesale, they need love. We all need love.
We all need love. Yeah. And to me, as much as all those places need love, we need just as much love right here. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't hold back when I say that this world is really, really screwed up in a whole lot of ways. Yeah. And, you know, it's pretty simple. All you need is love. And, you know, taking, you know, because it's a world of fear now, you know, and I think, you know, in a lot of ways we've forgotten how to love. And so I was just so impressed with my experience with you and how you treated people. Eric, I mean, we're not only on stage exuding love and that you care about people, but, you know, watching you with your individual interaction with people, I mean, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I'm like, holy cow, you know, this is just a little microcosm. Your convention or your conference was just a little microcosm of, boy, what could the world be like if the whole world was like this? And it was wonderful.
If you think about that, you need to be that change that you want people to see in the world, that you want to see have happen. Unless you are an example of what you preach, it's no point. Christians call it a witness. And Buddhism, they call it denial of the self and all these different things. Unless you're an example of what you believe will never see the light of day. So if we
absolutely
don't treat other people with love, if we don't try to help other people in what we do, if we don't have a business model based on love, if we don't have a perfect sense of self based on love and just a basic operating structure of how you treat people based on love, then you base it on other things that take you down bad paths. You base it on greed. I've seen people base it on anger. I've seen people base it on their whole worldview on bitterness. Love is the only productive situation. The only people who really made a choice that people took in the world and really made a difference were people who came from a place of love. You know?
Absolutely. And I love what you said about business based on love.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I left the career that I had, was because, you know, the heart part of business was being lost. And I see that happening, you know, because it's all about money. It's all about data. It's all about science. It's all about these different things. And I'm like, well, where's the heart? And where's the people part of it? And like you said, you know, I mean, if it's not happening, go make it happen.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, the real, I guess, the secret of my success, if there is one, and again, I don't try to keep it a secret, is that when you're willing to extend yourself for the sake of another, to the degree that you are willing to extend yourself for the sake of another person, that is the degree to which you will be successful and ultimately experience happiness. Because unless you are willing to extend yourself for the sake of another person, just for the sake of being a loving being in a business model or in any model, you might be financially successful, but you'll never be happy. You'll always be in this defensive world of everybody's out to get me. And that breaks into pittiness and to destructive bureaucracy and ultimately chaos. So love, it's perfect. It's a great business model. If I encourage anyone watching this to say to do something better, it would be to love better, to find a way to love better.
Absolutely.
Than you're doing now.
You know, absolutely.
Because that's make the difference.
Yep. Yeah. One thing I tell people is that if you want to experience unconditional love, get a dog. And you know, and you'll experience it. And perhaps some of that'll rub off on us, you know. And
yeah, if only unconditional love were the only thing that rubbed off dogs. I mean, there's also hair and there's poop. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah,
I got a lot of dogs and I love them. Boy, I tell you.
That's right.
You want to love someone that can just has better hygiene, maybe. That's all. You know, they're dog, you love them, yeah. But as we speak in all this, I think that the one thing I would love to get across to your viewers is, you know, expand your own love for the world. Just it's a gift that you're here. It's a gift that we are here. I mean, we are not a fluke. We're supposed to be here. And if we're supposed to be here, then we're supposed to do something positive, I assume, you know. And I don't think anything was ever created by the universe to be a negative thing, because it just destroys itself. And instead, you know, something positive, help people, love people, care about people. But how do you do that in a business model? Well, you extend yourself and give grace to people who are new, who are confused. They don't understand things yet. If you have a new customer, for instance, I always try to reach out to them and explain to them exactly what we are, exactly what the situation is, to make sure that it's something that they don't go and waste money on. Sometimes it's not, they're not right for the college market, or they're not right for a different market, you know?
Right.
And so we like to talk with them and let them make informed decisions, because that builds loyalty and it also builds trust. And trust
Exactly.
is the most important factor in any kind of a relationship, business, family, whatever. So we have a very strong outreach program that I oversee personally to make sure that people feel welcome there. And as you do whatever it is you're doing, you may be a speaker watching this, or you might be somebody just trying to start a business. And approach out there, approach everyone out there with the spirit of gratitude and giving, as opposed to, hey, let me sell you, buy this from me. Well, people don't buy things from people that feel like they're trying to sell them something. And it's not important whether or not you have a great sales technique and you can get them to buy it because you're really good. What's important is, do they understand and really know that you care about them? You know, do they understand Yes. that you really know and have sympathy and empathy with their position? Do they understand that you understand them? And then you can be the mentor that they're looking for. So people, yep. People are drawn to that model. And again, it all goes back to being based on a loving spirit of just willing to extend yourself more than other people do.
My goodness. You know, there's no way in the world I could have said it better than you. You know, one of the little sayings that
I like
have,
to brag.
Huh?
I don't like to brag, but yeah.
No, but you know, you're giving. It's the way that I'm looking at is what you're sharing right now is giving, because you know, giving, and you're giving a perspective. You're giving a perspective based on your experience. So you're not giving us your opinions. You're not giving us some theory. You're not giving us any academics. This is your experience, and it's wonderful for you to share it. You know, I've one little saying that I've guided my life around at least for 3 decades. Is they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you know, that's part of love. That's part of the whole love equation. Okay, so I have to ask you, for those college students who are listening, you know, based on everything that you've, because you talked about in your opening talk, the retention rates of colleges. And so if you could just share that and then based on your experience, what are one or two things that you have found that students can do to really optimize their college experience?
Well, as to retention, I mean, the whole concept of retention, and there were many wonderful student theorists that talk about this, Alexander Aston and Vincent Tinto. Based on their work, we try to infuse concepts that colleges already have in place that they can do, but they can do it better, and they can attach it to things that make it more attractive for students to get involved. For instance, I mean, you can run a civic engagement program and tell everybody, hey, everybody that wants to, we're going to come out here and we're going to do this for Meals on Wheels, and it's a little activity we're going to do, and everybody check it out, and 3 people show up.
Well, right.
How about instead, if you had something that they all wanted to do, like, let's say there was some kind of a band or a comic that you wanted to bring, but in order to get in, they had to roll up some silverware from Meals on Wheels, or they had to tie like strips of torn up old t-shirts into dog chews and give them to a local animal shelter. Well, you attach something then. They realize that what they do has importance. Doing something with civic engagement has importance because it got them into something they wanted to see. It gave them access into something. So that's one way to attach it to entertainment. Another way is when you're talking about things along the lines of like orientation, and these students come in and you say, okay, well, here's a map of the campus, and we suggest you go visit everywhere so you know where it is. Okay, well, who's going to do that? Maybe nobody, maybe a few people. They might use it for a while and then throw it away once they've got their own little map in their head of the places they really need. Well, what if you did a scavenger hunt instead and you helped retention by making these students much more aware of where to go in that scavenger hunt to find student health services, and where to go to find financial aid, and where to go to find orientation offices and counseling. Okay. What if you did that as a scavenger hunt for part of your orientation, instead of buying a few maps and handing them out, and attaching entertainment or gaming to those kind of outcomes helps the students then have a better practical competence on their campus. They know where to go to find financial aid. They know where to go to find help. And it's all part of the student activities program. So it's simple things like that to try to keep the students retained to the school that they can easily attach to a campus activities program. And that's what we teach. For instance, we take them to New York City. We take a lot of students and advisors to New York City, and we bring them to a Broadway play, and we teach them, okay, these are the themes in the play. Like this year, we're going to Lion King in July. Well, we're going to talk about how Simba, different types of leadership style. His father, Mustafa, had a very directive leadership style. And then Simba went into the jungle and lived with all the Hakuna Matata people. So it was kind of a more laissez-faire leadership style. And the leadership style of Scar, you know, the evil lion, you know, a dictatorial, totalitarian leadership style, all these different styles, and how leadership styles can influence what actions a board takes and what leadership styles are better for which situations, you know? So
that's amazing.
So attaching things like that to entertainment is important because the same neurons that flare in your mind for amazement and for excitement are learning. And if you don't believe that, touch a hot stove and immediately you will learn from that amazement that hot stoves are not safe to touch. Learning is hardwired into amazement because that's how we learned in the wild. I mean, as we evolved, we learned, okay, oh, I hear that roar. That's a lion coming to eat me. I should run, you know, or we hear like, oh, wow, that sounds like the earth shaking. Maybe I need to climb up a tree. There's an earthquake. All these different things are the attachment of the neurons that are amazement to learning. And yeah, it's a self-survival thing. So when you attach amazement, like, wow, I saw this entertainment, it was so cool, and we rolled up these cool things for, yeah, okay, you'll be more likely to roll up those silverware things for Meals on Wheels because you've attached it to amazement in your head and a good feeling. You've anchored it that way. So
yeah. So go ahead. Sorry.
I'd like to do for retention. And I must admit, I've forgotten the second question now.
Okay. I think I might have too. The retention. And then, are there any experiences that you can share for students in terms of encouragement, to optimize their college experience?
Well, the most important thing as a student is to realize that there are services on campus that can help you. I mean, if you're a student and you're struggling and you're trying to overcome a financial issue, there are financial offices on campus, many of which have a lot of leftover money from their scholarships that need to hand that out. There are student loan programs.
Whoa.
There are many, many things you can do to survive a financial issue. If you're having an emotional issue, there are telecounseling and there's health counseling and there's counseling services for students on every campus in the country, just about. And reach out and find those services. Whatever you do, the most important thing not to do is to withdraw away from the campus community, because the more time you spend in your dorm room alone, the more time you spend worrying about these issues, the more time you spend isolating yourself from the rest of the campus population, I think the more intense your problems will be. Again, you have to get yourself out there so you can experience the willingness of people in a campus environment to help you. So take that step out of your dorm room. Take that step onto the campus. Look around. Start asking questions. There's got to be a place on campus you can go, and the student union's a great place to start. Ask about getting involved in student organizations that interest you. Ask about study help, tutors, ask about financial aid, go find out where that financial aid office is. You know, just don't isolate yourself and think, you know, these are all on me and I don't want to burden other people with them, or I just don't trust other people, or I feel like I can do it alone. Don't, there's no need for that. Reach out.
I'm fearful that people will say no to me, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have that great fear that I'm going to go out there and I'll be rejected. Well, you know, so what? So what is the answer? Okay, they tell you no, you're no worse off than you were before.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you don't do anything, and if you don't reach out, the answer is no by default. And
exactly. I mean, take a chance. Yeah. Take a chance and step out and try to step out of what you're comfortable with, because it's the only way you grow. You don't grow in stagnation. You don't grow in a time where you sit there and just kind of like wait for the world to tell you anything.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing about campus life, folks, is that this is like among the safest places you're ever going to experience in your life, right?
Yeah.
Is in school. Wait till you get out of school. But you know, when you're in school and you're going to school, I mean, they're there to help you. They're, you know, and yeah. So and it's as safe an environment as you're probably ever going to experience. So go out and stretch yourself. Go out and be uncomfortable, you know, yeah. Because that's what you learn. And I think one of the biggest things about the college experience, which is so, so important today, more important than it's ever been, is learning how to hang out with people, learning people, right? And learning how to communicate with people. Because in this world of social media and texting, I mean, my goodness, the campus life gives you that opportunity to have face-to-face conversations and, you know, meet with people and hang out with them and go out to bars or go out to sporting events. That's amazing, Eric. You know, I just want to mention one other thing. As you were talking about attaching, you know, campus life to things that students can participate in, you know, civic activities and things like that, to make them want to learn and want to stretch themselves. You know, boy, what a wonderful model for businesses, mm-hmm. right? For yeah. businesses as well to attach things that their customers or their prospective customers or their people can get excited about. Like you said, you know, when I was working for IBM, It was, hey, listen, you know, if you want to volunteer for United Way, we got the United Way campaign going on. That was nice, but what if they attached something to that, right? What if they attached something so that folks would want to engage and learn from that engagement? That's selling from the heart. And I love it. I love it. You're amazing. You're amazing. And your 30 years of experience really does show. And I felt it. I actually felt it when I was with you.
People say things like you're an icon and all. It just means you haven't died yet.
I don't want to be an icon.
It's just not like, yet. You know, when they say, oh my gosh, he's a foundational icon. I'm like, oh no, no, it just means, you know, he's so old. Remember when he was relevant?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the way of things, you know, that's the way of things. And I've been very blessed to have the opportunity to affect our campuses around the country as much as I have. But the real bottom line is exactly what you said. It's, you know, love as a model of life, of business, love as a model of marketing, love as a model of engagement. There is no better thing to do than to love your students, to love those people. Scott Peck had a great definition of it. He said, love has many facets and you can never really define them all in one thing because it's too big a word. But probably the greatest is just to do what you do for the sake of others with no expectation of anything in return. It's unconditional, you know, and unconditional love is an incredibly large force. It's very, very, it's the most powerful force there is, because anything based on greed, anything based on hunger, anything based on anger, anything based on anything negative will not succeed. If you think about them, always they fall. You know, all
that's right.
Huge energy spent on anger, greed, corruption, they always fail eventually. Always.
Yep.
So love is perennial and always does great positive things, you know.
And Eric, you know, your association, like I said, is celebrating 30 years. Yeah. You're growing like crazy. And you are a man. You are a man who can say, love works. I've been there. I've Absolutely. Done it. I'm continuing to do it. And you know, the wonderful thing I love about what you're doing is that one of the products of what you're doing is helping people propagate love and to spread love. because you know you've got the university representatives, and you're showing them how to not only practice what you talk about, but also help them help others do the same thing. And that's unbelievably powerful. That's unbelievably powerful.
You know, there was one thing that really struck me when we had our conference. The University of Idaho was there, and they had recently experienced those terrible, horrible murders on their campus, you know, or just off their campus. And their student activities board went ahead with a large campus event that had been planned. And other people were like, why didn't you cancel that? Why didn't you because you can't let something so heinous and horrible rob you of your purpose, which is to love and help students. And they decided their purpose was more important than to shut everything down and send a signal that we are no longer functional because this has happened. Instead, they sent a message that we're strong, we're united. This has been a horrible tragedy. And we're going to come together as a community, and we're going to honor those students by not giving in to this fear and hate and horror and dread. And we gave them the award for the event of the year for that. You know, and I think that single incident let people know that they weren't just party planners, you know, that they were really agents of positive change. They were really agents of empathy and love and help on their campus. And that instantly, more than any other event at the conference, crystallized the entire concept. You know, something horrible happened. How do you respond? You respond by loving your campus and reaching out and doing a spontaneous act of love and showing them that there is not only evil in this world, in this situation. And to the extent we can all do that, to that extent, we will be closer to our purpose and closer to God, the universe, however you choose to call your higher power. And it makes a difference. You know, it makes a big difference.
Huge.
Just a little
Huge.
Recognition makes a big difference sometimes.
Yeah. And not only to the people, I mean, it just you telling that story and University of Idaho did that. You sharing that story, you just shared some love and gave my audience a perspective. And that's amazing. Eric, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. And I can't, you know, I mean, my experience at your conference was really, really amazing, and now I know even more why it was, because you're just an amazing person. So with that, you have anything else you'd like to share?
I would encourage everyone again to there's a great book called The Road Less Traveled with Scott Peck. I encourage you all to read that. There is also a wonderful book on marketing called Guerrilla Marketing, which I think you should read, and I think your people get a lot out of. And if anybody would ever like to talk about bringing their experiences to the campus marketplace, we can be found easily at apca.com, and reach out to us. Let us know what you have to share, you know, and we will be more than happy to share positive messages with young people that could really use them. You know,
wonderful.
And that's about it. Thank you all so much for spending some time with us today and hearing about our stories. You know, I guess that's actually your line. You tell them, it's your podcast.
this is exactly, you just personified exactly what we're trying to do. It's about giving and sharing and helping. It's all about love. It's all about
Absolutely.
Love.
All about
yeah.
Love.
Yeah. And so with that, folks, thank you for joining us. Let other folks know about this. You know, our effort is to help you live a better life. But if anything in this episode resonated with you, share it, especially with business people. You know, I mean, we really want to get the word out there that love sells. and love changes the world. So with that, and until next time, Eric Lambert, thank you so much. Can't tell you how much I appreciate and love you. And
Thank you, brother.
yep, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks.